Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh, no, a guest preacher. People have thought it before you. My husband, sitting in the midst of some folks one Sunday morning, as yet unidentified as the spouse of the preacher, heard the people in front of him look at the bulletin and say, "Oh, no. We wanted to hear our regular preacher." And one Sunday morning, seated beside an acolyte 7 years old, who looked at me with a look of trepidation. It was at a much smaller church than this, and during the opening hymn and a prayer, a moment of silence, she whispered in a very loud voice, "Where is our regular preacher?" I said, "He'll be back next Sunday." And she went, "Phew." So all together, phew. We're so grateful for David and Sarah, your wonderful leadership team here. You have marvelous clergy leadership. Let's give thanks to God for the two of them. And I'm grateful as your Episcopal leader for your willingness for me to be here this morning and to thank the people of Pinehurst for your strong community with all United Methodists in Eastern North Carolina, as together we give witness to Christ joyfully, connecting with one another, serving Christ in the world. Let us pray. We do give thanks this day, O God, for David and Sarah, for their households, for Carolyn, for Eddie and Joseph, for Jordan. We give thanks that they serve so well here, and we ask for an abundance of your blessing to continue upon their lives. We give thanks for this congregation of your people and for all the ways your light and life shines in this place. May Christ continue to be with Pinehurst United Methodist Church and with our neighboring congregations, United Methodist and other followers of Christ in this community and across our state. May we be radiant light in your world, filled with your goodness, led by your Spirit, always. Amen. Rainbow in the cloud? I heard Maya Angelou speaking, large event, and I was near the back. Well, some years ago, I was familiar with a Noah story with the rainbow in the sky, I thought, but she kept saying cloud. She sang an African-American spiritual over and over again, and then she would talk and tell stories about the rainbow and the cloud. I remember her talking about inner city children, and she said, "The only rainbow they see is in a mud puddle where oil has been spilled upon it in the slums of the cities." And she would sing again, "God's rainbow is in the cloud." I kept thinking, cloud? What cloud? Now, I had grown up in the church, and I had known the Noah story all of my life, but I had not this cloud business. I said to myself, when I get back to the hotel room, I'm going to look in my Gideon Bible. I don't think Maya's right. But I got back to the room, and I opened up my Gideon Bible to the Noah story, Genesis 7, 8, and 9, she was exactly right. That's exactly what the text says. The rainbow was painted in a cloud. Now, in most nurseries and most pictures of Noah and the animals and the family coming out of the ark on Mount Ararat, the rainbow is painted in a beautiful blue sky, sort of like today. Trees are often blossoming and flowers are blooming, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous scene. Rainbow in the cloud. What an image for us as we enter into these weeks of Lent, the season of cloud, the season of overshadowing, the season of darkness that moves us toward eventually the breaking through of God's radiant light. I've loved the story of Noah and the ark. In fact, even at the time when I heard Maya Angelou open up this image to me of the cloud, we were planning a vacation Bible school. And it was going to be kind of like your chocolate festival, a lot of fun. The grandfathers in the congregation were creating a woodworking station where they were going to make a large ark with wooden animals, and the kids would sand and create the ark for the nursery area of our church. A science teacher was going to fill up a pool with sand and create a town and then flood it so the kids could see what a flood would do. Music center, dancing center, art center, outside a tent full of hay, July heat in North Carolina, stuffed animals on that hay, and the kids would go in and realize how awful it would be to be in an ark with all those animals in the heat. We even had planned the ending for the vacation Bible school with helium balloons of all colors tied to the altar rail, short, then longer, longer, longer. So when the children came in, there would be this magnificent helium balloon rainbow. What a party it would be. Not long after all of this, my nephew, 5 years old, said to me one day when he saw some of the Noah's arks that I had in my home, "Aunt Hope," he said, "I don't like that story." Don't like the story? How could a child not like the story? How could anyone not like this story? It has everything. It has adventure. It has creation. It has the beauty and force of God. It has the salvation of humankind. "Well, what don't you like about it?" And he said, "Well, not everyone got in the ark. Isn't that right?" I didn't know how to talk to him about the story. And his observation and question and dislike of the story lived with me for a very, very long time. Until just 3 years ago, when this was the appointed text for the first Sunday in Lent. The lectionary cycle does rotate every 3 years. And as I was reading it and remembering all these images of cloud, of rainbow, of his comment years ago, "Will is now 38. 30 years later, I finally had the right answer for him, I think. 30 years too late, but maybe not too late. What I wish I had said to him that day 30 years earlier is, "Will, God didn't like that story either. God didn't like that story either. That's why God painted a rainbow in the sky and said, never again, never again, never again, never again." This story, first story in this season of Lent, is a story to us of God's everlasting, unconditional covenant with humankind. That God will love humankind, that God will gather all people to God's own heart. And this wonderful story of Noah and Noah's family and the flood and the building of the ark and the ingathering of two of every kind delivered to a mountaintop of safety and descending out into the earth and the rainbow painted in the sky is a gift to us at the beginning of Lent, this season when God's heart extends out to all the world. To those who have loved the story of Jesus, to those who've never heard it, and for those who have heard it and continue to ask hard questions, hard questions about it. You know what John Wesley said about this text? Many years ago, our founder said, "We provoke God as much as we ever did." This was in the 1700s, and it applies even now. "We provoke God as much as ever, but God has decided that what could be accomplished in wrath, God will accomplish with mercy." Oh, I love his description of what this text means. God has decided to gather all humankind back, all creation back, to the heart of God through mercy, through mercy. "You are my beloved," God says to Jesus when he arises out of baptismal water. And it's God's desire that everyone in the human family hear that resonant word of God. "You are my beloved. You are my beloved. And you I am well pleased. I love you. I love you. You are my beloved. What I could accomplish in wrath," God says, "I have decided to accomplish through mercy." And this overwhelming flood of baptismal water, which engulfs God's people, is the way in which God draws us back to God's own self, refreshing us, cleansing us, giving us all we need so that we may journey faithfully with God. These images of water in the text for today are a magnificent way to begin the Lenten season. We know what water can do in eastern North Carolina. A year and a half ago, we know what it did in eastern North Carolina when Hurricane Matthew inundated Robeson County, Tarboro, Fayetteville, and on and on and on. In Mississippi, where Mike and I lived for 8 years as we led the Mississippi Annual Conference, Hurricane Katrina visited our shores 11 months after our arrival. And about a month after Hurricane Katrina, one day on the coast, the Gulf Coast, welcoming work teams, visiting people who were helping people get back home, we saw a house that had been inundated by the floodwaters of Katrina. The house had obviously not been opened at all. It had been sitting in the hot, sultry, dank air of the Gulf Coast for a month. 100-degree heat many days. Oh, just terrific. And on the porch of this house were four elderly people, a couple in wheelchairs, one with an oxygen tank, and they had tents on the porch. They had been obviously living on the porch of this house. And so we stopped, and I went up to the house, and the one person who was ambulatory without help came down the steps and just wrapped her arms around me and said, "I want you to see my church. I want you to see my church." And she led me across the yard, not much further than the green trees, to her small church that had been engulfed. We went inside, and it looked like it had just been whipped, like a huge washing machine. It just stirred everything. It hadn't been touched since the storm. We went up to the front where there was a platform, not unlike the one I'm standing on here, but smaller, much smaller church. She said, "When the water began to rise, the church was a little higher than our home, and so I got the others, and all four of us made our way to the church to be safer, and the water kept rising." She said the water began to come into the church, and so I got them up on the platform, the altar area of the church, and the water kept rising. "Thanks be to God," she said, "this platform was not nailed down." And the water kept rising. It rose and it rose and it picked the platform up and we floated up, 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 up. And I looked and we kept going up. I had to tear the ceiling tiles out and get the other three up into the attic because I was afraid the water would not stop. There was a line a foot beneath the ceiling tiles where the water finally stopped. She said, "We waited, and after a while, the water began to go down, and so I put them back on the altar platform. And she said, the four of us floated down, 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 down. And that platform came to rest at the very place where it had been lifted by the water. And she said, and the four of us were saved. And then she said, look at us. Why were the four of us saved? She said, we're all elderly. We all have all kinds of health problems. She said, my nephew who tried to swim to the church was only 21 years old and was swept away by the current. What does it mean? She said, but help me build my church. She didn't ask us to rebuild her house. She asked us to rebuild her church. Somehow in those moments, in that horrifying, terrifying experience, she and those with her had been lifted up to God and brought back down to live in this place that is still overshadowed by cloud. How much we wish this earth was a safe place for everyone. But in the last week, we've been reminded in horrific ways in which it's not a safe place, yet that is God's great desire for us. And this ark, the image often of a church turned upside down. Imagine this church sort of flipped over. We'd be in a boat, right? We'd be in a boat. That's how churches have been made through the years, as a reminder of the ark, a place where people might be drawn to God, to the safety of God's care, where people might be healed, where everyone might be welcomed in. 2 years after Hurricane Katrina, Mike and I were at East Lawn United Methodist Church. They had rebuilt their church with the help of volunteers and the kinds of offerings that you give often to help people out in the world who have come into some sort of trouble. As we had lunch, across the table from us sat the chair of the trustees. And he said, I got to tell you, and he started laughing. He said, I got to tell you, in the year before Hurricane Katrina, we were working on a church use policy. Who could use our church, when they could use our church, how they could use our church, if we were going to charge them for using our church if they weren't members. He said, we had that thing hammered out, typed up, ready to take to the charge conference. And then, he said, Hurricane Katrina came, and the water rose, and the water was in the second floor of their education building. That much water. But he said, during the storm, a number of us came from our homes and were in that second floor, and we opened the windows, and we pulled people out of the flood through the second floor windows to safety. 65 people were saved out of the rising water through the windows of the second floor. And 60 of them lived on the second floor of that damaged building for 3 months, hosted by the congregation, also severely impacted, as you would imagine, by the storm. And then he laughed and he said, you know that church use policy? He said, nobody's ever mentioned it since. We are God's people. Draw near to the heart of God through this story that children live out with their wooden arks and their animals of every kind and their little Noahs and Noah's wife and the others on the ark, with color books and stickers, with the images in our preschool halls, in our children's rooms. What a great story. What a great, great story. How glad I am that Will asked me a hard question about it 33 years ago. How glad I am that I heard Maya Angelou talk about that rainbow and a cloud, not a blue sky on a sunny day. Because it helps me know why this story is gifted to us on the first Sunday in Lent. So that we will not avoid the hard questions and the hard places, the broken places and the broken hearts in our community. Instead, draw near to the heart of God ourselves. We'll be God's people in the world, joyfully connecting to serve God faithfully. Amen.